Amen, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'll get you to turn your Bibles in the book of Romans. I promise you I won't keep you long this morning. Romans chapter 12, reading verse 1 and verse 2. And as you're turning your Bibles there, I want to say thank you again for your head out of, for inviting me to be here in this platform. I know it is difficult to those who were allowed to be here to share the Word of God, because every time I preach the Word, preaching is serious to me. You know, every prayer I pray when I preach the Word of God, I say, Lord, if this is not your will for me to stand here to present you, do whatever it takes for me not to be here. And one of my prayers is, Lord, if you cause an accident for me not to be here, then let it be. Because I take the Word of God seriously. Romans chapter 12, reading verse 1, verse 2. And then we're going to shift our reading to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Romans chapter 12, and you're reading with me, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a, what everybody?
Living sacrifice.
Notice, Paul is not talking about a dead sacrifice. Who is a farmer here? I'm sure every single one of us are a farmer back home in Fiji, right? Even no skills, we're still a farmer. Amen, somebody. You understand being a farmer, if you plant a dead seed, what will happen? I mean, we like to imagine it will grow, but it won't grow. Paul here is saying, present your body as what? What's the word? Living sacrifice. And then he extends the verse. He said, not only living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I notice here, Paul is speaking to the Christian people. He is not talking to those who are outside of the faith. He is talking to the Christian faith, because the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Can you see the word brethren there? Sometimes we use, hey brother, hey sister, we use that in the church. So Paul here, he is challenging the faith. And he challenged him, he said, present your bodies as living sacrifice. Paul is saying, be careful what you allow your hand to touch. Paul is saying, be careful what you allow your eyes to watch. Because the moment those who are outside listening, the moment we attach our bodies, our hands, our ears, our nose, our mind to the things of this world, Paul says it becomes a dead sacrifice. And then Paul gives the solution. Look at verse 2. Then Paul says, and do not conform to the what, everybody? Do not conform your eyes. Do not conform your ears to businesses and gossip. No, no. Do not conform your nose to somebody else's business. Do not conform your legs. Don't walk where God is telling you not to walk. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. And then Paul gave a beautiful solution. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be he, what everybody? Transform. Everybody say transform.
Transform.
Say it again, transform.
Transform.
Now say it like you really want to be here, transform.
Transform.
He said, don't attach to the world, but be he transform. How? By the renewing of the mind. Everybody say renewing of the mind.
Renewing of the mind.
You know, when I prepared for this sermon, I was in trouble. Imagine if you can read my mind, I'll be fired from standing up here and preach the word. Paul is challenging his people. He said, the way, because we surround ourselves with a toxic world. Am I right? But Paul said, in order for us to survive our bodies in the world, he said, renew the mind. Go with me to Luke. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and look at verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I'm going to get someone to read that out loud for me, if that's okay. Anyone who has a loud voice, can you read that nice and slow? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is Jesus speaking. And this phrase right here, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, is connected to the Great Commission. What was the title of your sermon last week? See for those who are listening. Tools that don't what? Speak. I want to connect the last sermon to this sermon because it goes together. Tools that don't speak. The Great Commission starts with the word. What's the word? Go. But you cannot go. You cannot invite people here. We need to go, right? I believe that the church of God has tools to share the faith. But I'm going to go a little bit of step back and talk about, in order for us to use the tools, in order for God's people to go out and do the work, revival and transformation needs to take place by the renewing of the mind. For a few moments, I want to speak to you about transformation. Let's pray. I commit my spirit to thee. Amen. We live in the world that is always changing. I'm going to stand here to the pulpit. I like to walk around because I don't want to fall asleep in my own sermon. So I'm going to try to stay here on the pulpit for those who are listening. We live in the world that is always changing. Is that right? Back in the days, the way we used to communicate with each other is writing letters. Remember those days, Mom and Dad? The young people are looking at me right now like, what is this guy talking about? Back in the days, when I moved from my beautiful paradise, Western Samoa, my home, to the freezing cold of New Zealand. I remember when I used to communicate to my folks and my parents back in the islands was writing letters. But now we have Facebook and FaceTime and every other faces out there and Twitters, and the world is always changing. Am I right? Remember when the telephone box came in? Those who are laughing because you know what I'm talking about, right? What color are those telephone boxes? Some of them black and some of them red, right? I remember when I used to live in Samoa, we used to travel 2 hours into the city because, you see, if you want to use the phone back in the day in the Samoa, there was only one place where you can use the phone. It's in the city. So people in the villages that can't afford a phone like myself, we have to travel 2.5 hours into the city. Remember those days? And when we get there, it frustrates me because, young people, you know what I'm talking about. I get there and then I have to wait another hour before I use the phone. But now we have these, can I use your phone, honey? We have these smartphones where we can just punch the numbers in and we will be able to speak to our friends and those who are around the world. Is that right? As a matter of fact, we don't have to punch the numbers in. We can just speak to the phone and the phone will do all the work for you. The world is always changing. Back in the days, If the 15-year-old girls marry a 30-year-old man, it was fine by the law. But in 2021, you can go to jail for that. The world is always changing. And that's why God is saying, you will go crazy trying to match up to the world. Because the world's idea is always what? It's forever changing. And if we conform to her style, our marriages, our relationship, our plans, our church will be unstable. The book of Proverbs chapter 5 verse 6 tells us, for the ways of the world is unstable. And if we conform to her style, we will be unstable. Don't be conformed to this world, because the world is forever changing. Can I take my jacket out? Is that okay? Don't stone me. I'm just hot. The world is always changing. We are influenced by our culture. Is that right, everybody? We are influenced by our cultures. We have cultures that we form in sports. Is that right? We have cultures that we form in workplaces. We also have cultures that we form in what we call cliques in the church. I hope there's no cliques here in this church, because that's why the church cannot move forward in life. That's why God's church is not powerful enough, because we have cliques. Because you see, when we have little groups and cliques in the church, what happens, brothers and sisters? We form what we call corruption. Everybody say corruption. And you see, when we have cliques in the church, when we come and trying to run the church of God, instead of running the church of God according to the culture of God that is found in the Bible, no. We run the church according to the cultures of our cliques. And I'm happy that the church of God here in Brisbane, Fijian church, don't have cliques. Can somebody say amen? Is that an amen or is that, I don't know. Turn to the person next to you and say, be careful of those cliques. We are influenced by our culture. Remember the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt? Remember that story? By the mighty hand of God? The Bible says they cross the Red Sea, and the Bible says they celebrate the power of God, because now they experience freedom. But now they're ready to build what God looks like. Their image of God was influenced by the culture of the Egyptian, because the result, they went and built a what? They went and built a cow. Their image of God was so corrupted because, you see, they literally thought that what God looks like was a cow. Their image of God, their idea of what God looks like, was influenced by the culture of the Egyptian. See, church, let me drop you this on you right now. See, the reason why we cannot forgive people in the church, I'm talking about us in the church. Forget about those in the world. The reason why we cannot get along in the church, the reason why we cannot love each other in the church, the reason why we cannot forgive the brother that you're sitting next to, is because we have a messed up picture of who God is. Have you ever heard people say, the reason why I can't forgive this person, because it's a process. Have you heard people saying like that? Just give me time and I will forgive them later. Let me just ask you something. When you go to God and ask for forgiveness, does God sit there and say, come back tomorrow? The forgiveness of God is immediately. But because the reason why we cannot forgive each other is because we have a false picture of who God is. We are influenced by our cultures. And God said, all these ideas, we are bombarded with all these ideas out of the church and in of the church. And God is challenging us this morning, be ye transformed by what, everybody? By the renewing of the mind. I'm going to take you now to a story that's going to illustrate our sermon this morning. Remember the story of Exodus chapter 1, the story of Moses. The Bible says, the story says, that King Pharaoh commanded all his people to kill all the male children at their birth. You remember the story? You see, the devil now was on the move, because he knew that a deliverer was to be raised by the children of the Israelites. That's Moses. So now the Satan used King Pharaoh to be a stumbling block to Moses' purpose. Because see, if the Satan understand, if I don't do anything, Moses will fulfill his purpose by delivering God's people from slavery. So Satan now hoped to defeat the divine purpose of Moses by using Pharaoh. Let me say this to you, church. The reason why you are frustrated right now, the reason why you cannot see your purpose in life, because Satan will use anything. He will use somebody. He will use any word, any fear, any discouragement. He will use somebody in the church to distract you from your purpose. See, can I say this? Can I be vulnerable? Because after all, this is a safe place for his people. That's why I don't hang with low-thinking people. Somebody say amen to that. That's why I have to be careful who I hang with, because I don't want to hang with low-thinking people, because they will distract me from my purpose. Turn to your neighbor and say, be careful who you hang with. Young people, be careful who you hang with. I don't hang with low-thinking people, because they will distract me from my purpose. Now, the story now says that while this law that King Pharaoh commanded all his people to the Hebrew male children at their birth. So while this law was enforced back in the days, the story says in Exodus chapter 2 that there was a son that was born. His name was Moses. If you read Exodus chapter 2, it says that Moses' mother became successful in hiding baby Moses for 3 months. How many months? Now, you can imagine the stress level of this mother. Can I speak to the mothers in this place right here, all the mothers and those who are listening outside? How would you feel if you have to hide your children or your child for 3 months? This mother, you can imagine. The stressful level of this mother is she cannot eat, she cannot sleep, and she keeps us to look outside the window for the enemies. She can't focus because for 3 months, you can imagine the mother. And something that and husband will never understand, the pull between the mother and the child. Because the child was sitting in the womb of the mother, they have this special connection. So you can imagine the stress level of this mother. If you read the spirit of prophecy, it says that the mother and the father, they no longer keep the child safe. Well, you know the story. The mother prepare an ark. Remember the basket? In Samoa, it's not an ark. We call it as a basket. It's just a basket. In the English term, you've got beautiful fancy term to use the basket. Use the ark. So you know the story. She prepared an ark, and then she put Moses in this basket. And then it says that she put the basket along the river. Now, Miriam, Moses' older sister, was watching to see what would become of her little brother. The story says that she saw that King Pharaoh's daughter came to the river, and then she opened the basket, and there was who, everybody? Now listen to this. I'm getting to the core of our sermon now. Moses is born into a toxic environment. I want you to think this with me. Moses is now born into a war zone. Everybody is killing. The Egyptian is killing the Hebrew male from birth, from home to home. And Moses now comes into a toxic environment. Moses now is born into an environment called separation and rejection. Moses now is classified of what we call in 2021 a foster child. You know what a foster child? Because you see, separation and rejection is now part of Moses' upbringing experience, not by choice but by force. And they say rejection plays a massive part in our behavior. Can I say that again? Rejection plays a massive part in our behavior. The reason why people fight in church, the reason why people can't get along, the reason why we cannot submit, we cannot love each other, because that person went through rejection and separation in their childhood experience. It says here, there's a book called Adventist Home, page 107. The reason there are so many, what's the word? Hard-hearted man and woman is that, what's the word? True affection was what? Has been regarded as what? And has been? And this class was what? And drafted in where? The prophet knew exactly what happened in those who go through rejection. They found rejection behavior is number one, depressed mood. Have you ever come across people like that? Depressed mood. Depressed mood. Number two is always angry all the time. Lord have mercy. I'm in trouble with this one. Have you ever come across people like that? They're always angry in board meetings and business meetings and for no reason. They're always angry. Have you ever come across people like that? Or do you look at that person when you brush your teeth in the morning? Always angry. Number three is lack of understanding regarding consequences. And then the last one is emotional sensitivity. That's why women are so responsible for their thought life when they are pregnant. Can I say that again? That's why women are so responsible for their thought life when they are pregnant. Not only they are responsible for their thought life when they are pregnant, but they are responsible for their habits and their diet. They're responsible for their thinking capacity. You know why? Because that children, that child that is sitting in your womb is picking up everything. And you wonder why your kids snap. It's because the thought pattern that you put in your mind. True science is say we have what we call motor neurons. You know what motor neurons are? Motor neurons are cells that takes information from what you put in your mind to your body. And that poor kid is sitting in your womb picking up everything. The Bible says, what a man thinketh, what happened? So is he. See, we kill people because what we put in our mind. Lord have mercy. I said, we kill people what we allow to enter into our mind. That's why I'm talking about transformation. See, woe be unto us if we go into another year with an old mindset while someone in the hospital dying to have the opportunity that you have right now. Can you just put your hands? I'm going to do an exercise. Can you just put your hand on your head right now? Just put it on your forehead. And say, Jesus, give me a new mind. Yeah, we need Jesus, give me a new mind. That's why I love the song that we sing every Sabbath now and then. It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. What's the next phrase? It says, we will. I love that phrase. It said, I will rejoice. That means I make up my mind today, I'm going to be happy. I made up my mind that I'm going to change my thinking. A lot of us are still stuck in the thinking from 2020. It's March. We come to church with the same old thinking. I wonder why we cannot move forward in the way that God wants us to move. Because we come in the church with the same old thinking. You see, the most powerful tool that you have right now is your mind. Let me share something. Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 1. It says, to deal with minds is what, everybody? It's our greatest work for who? Deal with the mind. Let me tell you something. You can read the Bible. You can come and learn about prophecy. You can go and do the work of God. But let me tell you something. You won't be powerful enough if you don't change the mind. Transformation needs to take place before we go and use the tools. Because you see, fast forward now, listen. If you don't transform from being rejected and be separated, we continue to hurt people around us. But not only are we going to continue to hurt people around us, we will continue to hurt ourselves even more. There is a saying, hurt people, hurt people. It says this. The greatest rejection causes is what, everybody? Useless self-inflicted. Just when our self-esteem is hurting most, what happens? We go and damage it even more. Can you see how powerful if we don't transform the mind? Some of us are still sitting here, but haven't dealt with things that have happened to you in the past. Maybe your father rejected you with love. Maybe you've never heard the word "I love you" in your own home. And so you grow up and you feel rejected and you feel angry. And guess what happened? We come to people, we come to church, and we use spiritual stuff to preach to people to cover the hurt. Let me keep an eye and share a little bit of testimony. When I started ministry, that's exactly what I did. I wasn't willing to face the pain, so therefore I read the spirit of prophecy, and when I preach, I make sure people will hear the word of God and share the word and go through the prophecy so people won't see the hurt that is going into my body. Don't fool yourself, brothers and sisters. Deal with the pain. Don't allow the word of God to be a numbing pain. We call it behavior narcotics. Don't run from the pain. Because fast forward now. Moses now becomes the prince of Egypt. Remember the story? He becomes the prince of Egypt. And now he heard rumors that he was a Hebrew. Now Moses now is confused. He first, people said that he was an Egyptian. And now people say that he was a slave. Moses now become confused. Let me say this to you. How would you feel if you come in one day to your home and mom and dad sit you down and said, you don't belong in this family? How would you feel? You walk in one home and they said, I'm sorry, I am not your real father and I am not your real mother. How would you feel? Imagine being Moses. You see, if you read Acts chapter 7, verse 22, it says that Moses learned all the ways and the wisdom of the Egyptian and now told that he was a Hebrew. Moses becomes confused. But listen what happened. Go with me to Exodus. Look at Exodus chapter 2. It's okay, I'm almost done. Exodus chapter 2. Moses become confused. Because of the time, you can go home and study and look at the spirit of prophecy explains beautifully what's going on in Moses' feelings and emotions. Exodus chapter 2. Moses becomes confused. Look at verse 11. It says, and now it came to pass in those days when Moses was growing that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. If you look at the word "look at their," the word that they phrase, "look at their," Moses is still confused here. People say that he's an Egyptian and some people say he's an Hebrew. He's confused. Now let's read on. Looked at their burdens and he saw, what everybody? An Egyptian beating who? Beating a Hebrew. Now look at verse 12. So he looked this way, and he looked that way. Wait a minute. He sounds confused. A person that is not confused, you will know exactly what to do. Moses here, he looked this way, and he doesn't know, does he belong to the Hebrews, or does he belong to the Egyptian? What happened? Because of confused, what happened? He ended up killing who? And because of confusion, he made the wrong choice. Listen carefully, church. We kill our dreams is because we don't know who we are. We kill our callings is because we don't know who we are. We kill our calling from God, the purpose that God has given to us, is because we don't know who we are. We cannot find fulfillment if you don't know who you are. And let me tell you, church, if you don't know you, you don't know where you're going. That's why it's important for us to experience revival and transformation before we go and use the tools. If you don't know you, you don't know where you're going. That's why it's so important to guard the avenues of the mind. Didn't Sister White say to guard the avenue of the mind? Young people, can I just talk to young people for a little bit? Young people, be careful what you allowed your mind to entertain with. Because you see, the world is trying to add their values in your mind to shape you. And we know the world's ideas is unstable. And if we allow the things of the world to become in our mind, to go into our mind, guess what happened? It will become your core beliefs. And we know the things of the world is unstable. That's why I'm talking about transformation. Transformation. What do I have in my hand? An apple? Are you sure it's an apple? It's an apple. And it's also called a fruit. It's amazing how this apple can become a tree. Isn't that right? Just from this apple. It's amazing how this apple becomes a tree. But in order for this apple to transform into a tree, for those who are listening from the outside, in order for this apple to transform into a tree, I need to get to the seed. Is that right? I need to get to the seed. Because if I... It's okay, I'm not eating in the church, I'm just illustrating the point. If I plant the skin, I won't get the tree. Am I right? If I plant the... it tastes nice. If I plant the flesh, I won't get the tree. Keep fighting. And keep fighting. And I keep fighting to get to the core. Because an apple has a core. Because when you get to the core, what do you see? Once you get to the core, you will find the seed. And let me tell you, church, the seed is a place of transformation. You need to get to the core, because if you don't get to the core, you won't get to the seed. And the seed is a place of transformation. Listen, I cannot transform my life if I don't find the core. You cannot transform your life if you don't get down to the core of who you really are. Who are you really? I'm just going to let that sink in your mind. You cannot transform your life if you don't get down to the core, because if you don't know the core of who you are, you will continue to shape your life according to other people's expectation. Find the core. Do you know you? I shouldn't have to shape myself through your satisfaction. That's why when I come to preach the word, I don't care what people say about my preaching. All I need to worry about is preach the truth. It's because it's between me and God. Because I know who I am in Christ. Find the core. Do you know you? Do you know you? Because if I don't know myself, I will always continue to conform myself around your need and find fulfillment through your satisfaction. Do you know you? Have you got down to your core? My Brisbane Fijian brothers and sisters, have you got down to your core? Stop allowing people to push you to become something that you ain't not. Have you ever heard people say, oh, you're a Christian, you should do this? No, that's spiritual abuse. That's what you call spiritual abuse. Do you know? Stop allowing people pushing you becoming something that you are not. You need to get down to the core of who you are. Because if you don't know your core, you can allow people to keep abusing you physically, mentally, verbally, and spiritually. Get down to the core of who you are. Do you know you? Have you got down to your core? Stop hating on you. I'm going to say it to my sisters because this will relate to you. Look at the mirror and you hate yourself. Stop hating on you. Young people, young females that are listening, stop hating on you. Stop comparing yourself to others. Appreciate what's in down of you. How dare we compare ourselves to others? How dare? God has set us aside for a holy purpose. How dare we compare ourselves? How does the clay say to the potter, why did you make me like this? See, when God made you, he knew what he was doing. Can somebody say amen? See, stop despising the way you are and start glorifying how God made you. Appreciate how God made you. And how? Because the last time I came to the Bible, it says in Psalms 139, verse 13 and verse 14, it says, "For you created my what, everybody? You knitted me together in my what?" And it says, "I praise you because," what is the word? Turn to your neighbor. He says, "I'm fearfully." Why are you afraid to claim the promises of God? How can we tell people to claim the promises of God? We can't claim the promises of God in God's church. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are what, everybody? Oh, you are wonderful. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are wonderful." Not because of you. It's because of the person who created you. That's why you become wonderful. So when I look at the mirror, young people, when I look at the mirror, when I go to places, I'm believing in my mind that God said that people, when I step into the room, I'm fearfully. When I step in the room, I'm wonderful. When I look at the mirror, I said, praise God that he created man in his image. If you believe that, can somebody say hallelujah? Have confidence, man. Not because of you. Have confidence on how God shaped you. When we have confidence because we serve a mighty God, the work becomes powerful. People will ask, "Where are these groups come from? I've never seen Christians like this, always happy and always fearfully and always wonderful." Why? Because we know the core of who we are. Find the core and we'll find your purpose. Just a side note, God has to remove Moses away from a toxic place. Isn't that true? God has to remove Moses from this toxic place, Egypt, to reawaken his core beliefs. Because the core beliefs of Egypt got to Moses' mind. And let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, this morning, you cannot step into a new season with an old mindset. You cannot step into the new year with a mind filled with toxic core beliefs. Because fast forward now in Exodus chapter 3, Moses now standing before the burning bush. Remember the story? Exodus chapter 3. Look at verse 6. Now Moses is standing before the burning bush. God now reminds Moses his core. This is beautiful. This is a beautiful chapter. I want you to look from a different angle here. Exodus chapter 3, look at verse 6. He said, moreover, this is God speaking. He said, "I am the God," what's that word, "of?" No. What's that word before the Father? It's a personal word. If you look at the Hebrew, it says that God is saying, no, Moses, I'm not far away from you. I'm so close to you. I am yours. The Bible says that Moses, your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are mine. That means, Moses, you belong to me. Moses here was rejected and separated in his childhood experience. And God reminded Moses, you belong to me. If your father are mine, you are mine. Can you see what God is trying to do here in the burning bush? Go with me to verse 12. Look at verse 12. It says, God is saying to Moses, I will certainly be what? Moses. Oh, my son Moses. Oh, yes, I understand you went through separation. Moses, I understand. Don't complain to me, Moses. I understand when you were rejected. I understand not by choice, but by force. But Moses, I was there from the beginning, and I will never leave you nor will forsake you. God here is reawakening the core of Moses. Go to me with verse 14. God now say it again, verse 14. And God say to Moses, what's the word? I am who I am. In other words, Moses, I am the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Moses, I told you before the foundation of this world. That's your core. My brothers and my sisters, your core begins with God. not with mom and dad. Your core begins with God and how God thinks about you. When you get that core, you will find your purpose. And when you find your purpose, transformation takes place. And when transformation takes place, and revival and restoration takes place in God's church, guess what happened to the work? Woo! Hallelujah, somebody! It becomes powerful. The people will draw closer to you, not because of you. It's because of the transformation that you're going through. It's because now you got down to the core of who you really are. For those who are listening and those who are watching, from those in the camera are watching right now, find the core of who you really are. You find the core, you will find the purpose. Because fast forward now, what happened to Moses? Moses now returned to Egypt. Was he a different person now? So much power because of the transformation. Moses now comes back to the toxic place, back to Egypt, and now he understood his core. He understood why God created him to be. He understood. And now in the midst of this toxic place, Moses was able to do and deliver God's people. Because God removed him to reawaken his core belief by transforming his life. In the midst of this toxic place, with the new transformation, with his core restored, Moses was able to fulfill his purpose. Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. God brought you here this Sabbath not to eat lunch, not to be noisy for some other's business. God brought you in this church today to speak to your core. To speak to your core. To pull you back on the road again to fulfill your mission. What's our mission? To heal the brokenhearted. To set those who are captive and slave of sin. To open the blind, the eyes of those who are sitting in darkness. But in order for the mission to go forward, transformation. What, everybody?
Let's pray. Father,
to you be all the praise and the glory. It is your name and it is your character that draw us closer to you, Father. Thank you for this Sabbath. Thank you for your word. Father, Lord, the glory does not belong to me. I am just a dust servant. But praise your name, Lord, because your word, it's your word and it's you, the reason why we come here. Father, I pray as we leave this place, Father, help us to transform, because you still expect your people in this COVID-19 to experience transformation. So the world will see us and they will be able to crawl closer to you. Father, I pray to bless the leaders of this church. I pray for the pastor. I pray for every mothers. I pray for every husband. And I pray all for the young people, that you will help them to transform their life, to understand the core of who they are. Father, as we leave, Lord, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill us when we leave this place. Power, restoration, reaching out to people, those who are sitting in darkness, and draw them to you. Thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name, and everybody say, Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.